Right now it is time to bring in our good friends, David and Marcy, from theberkshireedge.com, where you can find news and information and events that are going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here on a Wednesday morning, live on the radio, we touch on just a few of the many stories that they feature. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I mean, I would much rather it to be the sun out brightly and humid because my knees like sunny, warm, humid weather, not cloudy, humid weather. But you can't always...
Well, we have sun here in
Great Barrington. We have some day. Yeah, you should come up to Great Barrington. it's just, you know...
you people in Connecticut?
Yeah.
You don't get any sun?
How the cloud, it's like I said, it's not really cloudy, but it looks like there's a haze of fog above, so the sun isn't really getting through. But anyway, what does get through is the stories that you cover at theberkshireedge.com every day of the week. And
Biff.
Berkshire International Film Festival.
Right.
Yes, it is coming to Great Barrington this weekend.
Yep.
Thursday night it starts. I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
You should know that. So this is its 16th year, actually. And it's been very successful, the BIFF. I think it was kind of an audacious thing that Kelly Vickery did when she first launched this 16 years ago to have a film festival. But she said that she had been living abroad and came back to the States, was living in the Berkshires, and realized that one of the things that was missing in the cultural landscape was films. And she has done a very good job. This has become a major event in the Berkshires.
Well, and in the film circuit.
In the film
circuit.
World, right.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And we have two articles, part one and part two, both called BIFF, A Very Sweet 16. The first article talks about a lot of sort of major directors or major films that are being shown at the BIFF, but the second part talks about what the BIFF is doing for local Berkshire and surrounding area filmmakers. So it has been, and BIFF has grown into a year-round presence. They have screenings all year. But, of course, focusing on the major festival, which always takes place the weekend after Memorial Day. And so our second article talks about the kind of support that the BIFF has given to local Berkshire-based filmmakers. And it's really quite extraordinary.
We are
looking forward to attending some films.
And the great thing about the festival is it not only attracts films from far and wide, but people from far and wide. Once again, when one starts a film festival out here, one doesn't necessarily think it will be an economic motivator, but it is. When people come to an area for a film festival, they don't just stay for one day. They spend money and they stay for a couple of days.
Yes. No, oh, yeah. It's true. And this festival goes on for 4 days. It starts, it's the 2nd to the 5th. So the 2nd is tomorrow night. Today is Wednesday. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And there are screenings and there are lectures and all kinds of interesting events associated with this film festival.
Right.
Yeah.
And and there are several screens at the same time. So it's it's going to be very busy. I mean, I would not suggest expecting to find a parking place in downtown Great Barrington this weekend.
Well, it's bad enough on a regular summer weekend, but never mind when there's the film festivals in town. Our advice to people, stay patient and stay calm. There you go.
Yes, and enjoy the movies.
Yeah.
The fact that they support local filmmakers, I think, is very important because otherwise, there are plenty of film festivals. I mean, there's something like 3,000 film festivals that take place around the world, and So this one has distinguished itself, really, because it has been very supportive of local filmmakers.
All right, let's move on to your next story, because this is a pretty big story where Berkshire County school districts have received funding around $300,000 to support different programs.
Yes, this is a major program. It's a post-secondary, what's called a post-secondary grant to make sure that kids are prepared for college and a career as well. So this is a coup for the Berkshire County school system, and it's going to be developed. It's a grant that's going to allow the school systems to prepare kids for work, what they call work readiness. It's a great addition to the curriculum at the of our local schools in the county. This is a countywide effort too.
This is a grant that is targeted toward rural areas.
Yes,
it's a rural innovation and efficiencies grant, unfortunately it doesn't say. It kind of is a criticism of the preparation that kids are getting from local high schools, because it's saying that kids are graduating from high school and they're not really ready to work, and they're not, they haven't thought about careers at all. But on the other hand, I think it is terrific, because we have a lot of kids who do graduate who don't know what to do with themselves. They're not necessarily going on to college. They're historically disadvantaged, and they do need some gap training. And so that's what, this is going to strengthen college and career readiness.
Well, I think what's important about it, you say college and career readiness, there's a lot of students that move on from high school, move to college, and then move into the business ranks, and they really have no idea how to transition. They don't.
No, it's
they're
true.
They're expecting the world, and they don't. They're not really prepared for the real world.
Right. Right.
And I think a program like this, by helping youth that are disadvantaged in this way, to get prepared for the transition from high school to college or high school to trade school, whatever, and then it helps down the road transitioning from college into the workforce.
Right,
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that is the idea. And of course, I do feel strongly that everybody is being pushed to go to college. But there are so many jobs and careers and trades that young people could be looking at. I think I've said this before. The average age of the electricians in the Berkshires is 56 years old, or at least that's what my electrician told me a year ago. So now they're probably 57 years old. No one wants to become an electrician. Nobody wants to become a plumber. Nobody wants to be a contractor. And yet these are terrific careers, these are careers where you can make a very good living, you can be your own boss, you can have your own company, and you can, feel, very comfortable, but no one is preparing kids for these kinds of careers, I'm hoping that this will be, career readiness development that will open their eyes to other possibilities, because not everybody has to go to college.
Well, I could speak to this, because I was planning on going to a very prestigious out of high school university that dealt in broadcasting, okay, because I wanted to get into broadcasting. But while my final 2 years in high school, my junior and senior year, I interned at radio stations. So we, Morris Rainville started a small radio station at our high school. I worked with that. And by the time I was ready to graduate, unfortunately, something happened where I could not afford to go to college. And so I had some prep by working and interning in radio stations, real professional radio stations, where I went out and I got into broadcasting. Now, it took me a while to get to where I wanted to go, but I ended up where I wanted to get to go. And I think that these programs, if more young people took advantage of them, they would realize that college isn't the end all to get all. Ask me if Elon Musk graduated college. Ask me if Bill Gates graduated college. No, they didn't.
Elon Musk didn't either.
No,
Bill Gates didn't.
No.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is that we need to encourage people to understand lifelong learning. That it's no longer. I mean, yes, you can't get a job without a college degree, but you don't necessarily get a job with a college degree because you end up, I mean, some kids are ending up with enormous debt and coming out of college with no more readiness to work than they had when they graduated from high school.
No, I'm not taking away college that you shouldn't go to college.
Not everybody.
That's exactly right. It can work out for you. It might be a little harder working. You might have to do a lot. It took me 33 years to end up owning my own business, but it worked out in the long run because I was in a field I wanted to be in. So I mean, it's. Like I said, it's not a degradation against college. College is great and fantastic, but you're right. It's not for everybody.
Right. Right.
And that's what makes a program like this so important.
That's right. And I agree. I mean, I hope that they come up with a curriculum that will work.
All right. Let's move on to a Berkshire Pride events. It's that time of year in Cornwall today. They're unveiling the LGBTQ flag, and it's going to fly the whole month on the Cornwall Green.
Wow. Well, this is Berkshires are having a lot of what they call pride events scheduled for the entire month of June and beyond in the Berkshires. And it's a... Even the mayor of Pittsfield has gotten involved in the, helping to celebrate Berkshire Pride. So that begins on Thursday and goes through Saturday. And
there'll be a parade on Saturday.
There's going to be a parade on Saturday.
In downtown Berkshire.
Yeah.
Downtown Pittsfield. Sorry.
And there's going to be... A Box of Vine, a local drag performer, is going to be there.
Box of Vine, I love that.
Yeah. So this is called Boxa received a Community Change Maker Award for working in the movement. So this is going to be really interesting. This is going to be a fun celebration in Pittsfield and throughout the Berkshires.
Yes, I mean, it is extraordinary to think how far the LGBTQ movement has come, that it now is a mainstream celebration in downtown Pittsfield and in other cities. So, I think it's because many people realized that they had LGBTQ members of their family, so
right.
They couldn't ignore the movement.
And this is, they're going to have... activities at NAMCAG, they have some sponsorships, too, from Blue Q, our friends at Blue Q, and the Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition. So they're going to have a big family pride picnic, and so it's a
It's a big progress toward acceptance of people who don't choose to be different, but find that they can't help it.
Right.
So, you know, so we should embrace them, of course.
Yes. Right. I want to go on to your next story, because I talked about this yesterday and today about your story on this, and I still scratch my head whenever this happens. That's a story on the former town accountant who embezzled and stole money. Is going to jail for it. But what's really wild about it is that the town of Monterey actually discovered when he did this, and he paid them back with interest. But I just never understand where somebody who is smart enough to be an accountant can feel that they can do this and actually cover their tracks and never ever get caught. It amazes me. This is a story that occurs in our area, and it seems to occur time and time again.
Well, this is a former town accountant.
Yeah.
This is why you need local newspapers.
Yeah.
And no, I'm serious. Local reporting, because, you know, if this doesn't, you know, if there isn't somebody watching, this kind of thing can happen all the time. I mean, it can happen easily, not all the time. But this man, Justin Cole, he lives in the town of Uxbridge, but he was the accountant for multiple municipalities, including Uxbridge, Wenham, Millville, and
Monterey.
And he stole a total of, what was it, $900,000-something.
$900,000, yeah.
From these four towns. Yes, I mean, I guess he figured he could get away with it because no one was overseeing him. I mean, he stole $855,000 from Uxbridge, where he lived, from his own neighbors. $25,000 from Monterey, $47,000 from Millville, and only $3,500 from Wenham. But, you know, I think it's probably easy to do this because, you know, he's the accountant. And who's overseeing the accountant? So, I mean, the town is trusting in the accountant to make sure the books are okay. But if the accountant is crooked, then does he have anybody overseeing him?
It's amazing how
they found it at all.
It's still one of those things that I just shake my head. I mean, it's like when you're a kid. There's 12 cookies on the plate, and you're told by your grandmother or mother, don't eat a cookie. And you go eat a cookie, thinking that no one's going to notice.
Well, you know,
only 11.
And the other thing about this is that, you know, Massachusetts, we have this small town and town meeting form of government, you know, which is people tend to be trusting of their local officials, and they may know them. So it's a blow not only to the money that was stolen, but it's a blow to the feeling of community too, that someone took advantage of this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
All right. This next story is an interesting story. It's not often that you see a national candidate come in to peddle for someone who's running for re-election as a district attorney in a Massachusetts town.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Jamie Raskin came on Saturday. But actually, Jamie Raskin didn't come to the Berkshires to endorse Andrea Harrington. He came because he was invited to give a lecture there. We have something called the Mona Sherman Memorial Lecture every year, which is paid for by the widower and daughter of a woman named Mona Sherman. And Jamie Raskin was coming to, he was this year's lecturer. And as it happened, he was also the law professor for Andrea Harrington, who is the Berkshire County DA, and is running for re-election. So it was a coincidence that he was here, and they arranged a campaign announcement of Andrea's campaign, or her renewal campaign, on the same day. So they had a little rally endorsing, where Jamie Raskin endorsed Andrea Harrington, and then he went into the Mahawi and gave his lecture.
Right.
All right.
So, but nevertheless, it is it's an important endorsement, because Jamie Raskin, Congressman Raskin, is extremely well respected. Has been one of the major forces to try to fight against Donald Trump and Trumpism, and so to have that kind of endorsement is really a feather in Andrea's cap.
All right, I want to move on to the next story, okay. And that is Reason Gone Mad.
Yes.
Reason Gone Mad. Oh, you mean that's the normal state of things, actually.
I wish we had talked about this story right after we talked about the film festival, because this is the third of four articles about the housing problems in the Berkshires, and it starts out with a conversation with Richard Stanley, who is a real estate developer who built the Triplex movie theater in Great Barrington and really started a turnaround in Great Barrington, which was not only a sleepy but an impoverished little town. And when he started a movie theater in 1995, suddenly people started coming into town in the evenings. Restaurants started coming up. The town became more attractive. Second homeowners started buying here, and now we come to Biff.
Right.
But we are talking nevertheless about what's happened to the town of Great Barrington, and the fact that as it became a destination for second homeowners and out of towners, that the locals are feeling increasingly frustrated by not being able to find housing. So this is a serious problem.
All right, we have about a minute and a half left, and I do want to get to your next story about Grief the Musical, a comedy.
Yes.
Well, this is written by our local playwright, Ellis Larkin. She's one of our playwrights.
And she's a very interesting
and prolific
woman.
Writer.
Right.
Yes.
Allison is best known because she is a writer and a stand-up comic, she's a comedian, not a stand-up comic, and also she records books.
For books on tape, yes.
She told her own personal story in, what was it called, The English American.
Yeah.
That she was actually born out of wedlock to two Americans, and was adopted by an English family and grew up as English. And at a certain point, she wanted to discover her
American
birth
family. Yes.
And it turned out to be a hilarious adventure, which she wrote a book about it. She has a book on tape about it. She's done a one woman show about it. I mean, it's a very, very funny story, and she tells it very well. And now she has a story which she somehow manages to turn into a very poignant and at times funny story about the loss. I mean, she met a man a few years ago whom she was very much in love with, and they were planning to marry, and he suddenly died. And so to channel her misery, she turned it into a play called Grief the Musical.
A comedy.
So it is opening. I mean, we have a new theater company in Great Barrington called the Great Barrington Public Theater, which performs at Simon's Rock. And Grief the Musical is opening this Friday night.
June 3rd.
Yes.
And it plays through the 12th.
Right.
Yep.
David and I went to a rehearsal, and we loved it.
Yes, she's great. She's wonderful.
We highly recommend it. I mean, it's poignant and funny, and Allison does a great job of taking on different voices and, you know, playing different characters. And they're terrific songs. I mean, it's been put to music. It is a musical and a comedy. It's a great tribute to her that she's been able to turn her unhappiness into something so, you know, so moving and enjoyable.
All right. Well, death is going to have to wrap us up today.
Yes.
Well, that was a good ending, don't you think?
A great ending, as a matter of fact. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. The Berkshire Edge on air. Of course, you can find all those stories and more at theberkshireedge.com.